Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Hello, this is Lucas Carlson from CenturyLink Labs, brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud. Today, I am super excited because I have a great guest on, Borja Burgos, who is the founder and CEO of Tudum, which is a pure Docker container hosting provider. But they do so much more, and I'm really excited because that's kind of a new space, the idea of having Docker containers as your basic foundation instead of virtual machines in the cloud. It's a new way of thinking. He's on the bleeding edge of this new hosting thinking. So I'm super excited to talk with him, understand what he's doing, what's happening in the space. And before we get started, Borja, can you tell us about your background?
Hello, Lucas. Hello, everyone. First of all, I want to say that I'm very, very happy and excited to be here. Lucas, you've been doing a great job with everything Docker related, so keep it up. And it's a pleasure to be here. As far as my background, I'm an engineer. I'm originally from Spain, although I was born in the US, which not many people would say, judging by my accent. I grew up all over the world and became a computer engineer. And then I did my years of tech consulting, very exciting years, but there was something missing. So I went out back to school to get a master's in the information security field at Carnegie Mellon University and at University of Hyogo in applied informatics. Started messing with stuff in the cloud, learned about containers, learned about Docker, got excited about this whole space. I had been hitting the wall for years and years on, hey, my code works here, and I deploy it over there, and it's not working anymore. So when I learned about containers and Docker, I'm like, this is the way things are going. And for the last 9 months, been actively working as a co-founder and CEO at Tudum.
Great. So tell us about Tudum. What is it? Who should use it?
So the way we think of Tudum, it's as a single endpoint. It's an infinite Docker host. So people that are familiar with Docker should relate to this, right? With Docker, you've got a number of individual hosts. If you think of a single infinite endpoint where I can just run containers, regardless of what that infrastructure is, that is Tudum. On top of that, a number of value-add services that we'll be discussing later. Who should use it? Really, anything or anybody from a developer to a DevOps, anybody that's running back-end infrastructure software is a potential candidate for Tudum and what we're building.
Got it. So the first question I have for you, why not just run your own Docker? So Docker, the whole premise of Docker is that you can set up very easily. Any Linux distribution can run a Docker daemon, and you should just be able to set up Docker and run containers anywhere. Why not just set up a DigitalOcean or a CenturyLink Cloud virtual machine, put Docker on it, and deploy your apps that way? Why use a hosted Docker?
Right. Docker's great. They've been able to put a great interface on some primitives and build a great open source project. But at the end of the day, the Docker container is nothing but a building block. An awesome building block, but a building block. I mean, the moment you start trying to do containers at scale, you start running into problems. How do I run containers into two different hosts for redundancy purposes? How do I get visibility into what containers deployed in which host? How am I able to load balance the traffic that's coming in to the different containers running across multiple hosts, across multiple clouds, right? And these problems are not solved by the basic building block, which is the Docker container. And hence the reason for having something on top, that layer of orchestration, management, deployment, and that is what Tudum is.
Got it. So it does more than just run a Docker daemon. It actually provides sort of a mesh so that it can kind of, you don't have to worry about which Docker host runs your container. Is that right?
Right. The whole infrastructure as we know it today is abstracted away in such a way that you're running and managing containers. You don't have to worry about that C2 instance or that DigitalOcean droplet or CenturyLink machine that's running my infrastructure. Now all I see is containers, and I can link my applications and deploy my applications in containers. And that's the beauty of it.
Got it. So how is Tudum different than platform as a service like Heroku, or even some of the Docker platform as a service like Deus or Flink? How does Tudum look different than a platform as a service?
Right. So Tudum tends to sit more on the infrastructure. If you think of Tudum sitting right in between infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, the ones that you mentioned tend to be more on the platform as a service, right? If you think of Heroku, their basic building block is code. My code needs to satisfy a specific box. And if my code doesn't fit that box, then I cannot deploy it to Heroku. So there are some constraints that are in place that prevent me from deploying my code to a platform as a service. Also, many or most of this platform as a service, the paradigm that they follow is that this platform will run your code, your application. Now, any services that the application needs to consume need to come in as services, meaning I will have to pay or set up a MySQL somewhere that my application will then consume. We see, and this is something that the work remains to be done, but we do see the potential of also containerizing those services and having that be part of the infrastructure. So we are focusing more on the infrastructure aspects of it, a bare bones container infrastructure with the value add from platform as a service. And we do see services as potentially being containerized in a single solution, as opposed to being treated as different citizens within this ecosystem, right, of my application and all the services.
Got it. So how is it different than Deus and Flink? So some of our audience is familiar with kind of the Docker platform as a service approach. Does Tudum do more or less or something different than some of those Docker-based PaaS solutions?
Ultimately, the biggest differentiator is going to be that Tudum is a service, whereas Deus and Flink are open source initiatives that you have to manage and run. Even if there exists some overlap, that's ultimately going to be the bigger differentiator. I do see Deus and Flink leaning more towards the developer-centric tools, more so than the infrastructure portion of it and the DevOps stuff of it, whereas we see Tudum leaning more towards the left. But I agree that there is a big overlap on feature set and end goal. And I would be hard-pressed to think that one would run both Flink and Deus and Tudum or any combination of those, right? It's hard to imagine that happening.
Got it. And just to clarify for the audience, would you ever be able to run Deus or Flink on Tudum?
So that would be a great conversation for me to have with Jeff Lindsay or the guys at Deus. I don't see why not, as far as how they handle the container deployments and today, absolutely not. But moving forward, why not? It may be a possibility, something to explore.
Got it. So where are Tudum Docker containers actually hosted? Which service provider?
So today, we are running on top of Amazon Web Services. And I say today because from the get-go, we built everything in such a way that we are infrastructure agnostic, meaning anything that we are making use of Amazon can be replaced by any infrastructure as a service provider, by bare metal, by a private data cloud, say OpenStack, or something along the lines of VMware solutions. So it's more about the layer on top, more so than the hosting services for Tudum. And today, answering your question, today we sit on top of Amazon Web Services.
Which data, US East, are you planning on going to multiple data centers within Amazon?
Absolutely. So if things develop and we move on and Tudum grows, it makes absolute sense for us to be in as many places as possible for our customer base.
And would you might not know this yet, but would you be able to pick which data center you'd be in, or is that going to be kind of abstracted away?
From a user perspective?
Yeah.
Right, so there are use cases where one needs data for privacy concerns or legal concerns to not leave a specific geographical region, in which case you have to choose, right? So as we're able to satisfy more and more complex use cases, absolutely, one should be able to control where the application, where the code, where the data is stored and running.
Got it. And how much does it cost to get started with Tudum? If our audience wants to try it out, what does it cost?
So our current option plans, we deploy our smallest container is a $4 a month container. We, unlike Amazon, unless they've changed this recently, we charge by the minute. We go all the way up to, I believe, $64, which is a container that has 4 gigabytes of RAM. Now, this is we're still in beta. It's our pricing model today. Everybody gets $4 worth of free credit when you sign up. So you can run a container up for a month for free. And if you're listening to this or watching this, send me an email, borja@tudum.co, and I'll be happy to send some more credit your way.
Yes. So what hardware do you get for that $4? That's less than DigitalOcean. So what's the underlying server? Is it a micro? Is it a large? What is it running on?
So the way Tudum works today, and again, we're looking at how does Tudum grow from here on. Today we are running containers in a multi-tenant fashion, meaning there are hosts that are running multiple containers from different customers, ultimately. I should probably go to the pricing table. I should probably know the pricing better. But ultimately, it's a fraction of an EC, what do the Amazon call it? Their compute unit. So it's a fraction of that up to being four ECUs, ranging from 256 megabytes of RAM all the way up to 4 gigabytes of RAM. And again, there's no reason for us not to be able to further divide that into different chunks, providing bigger instances, smaller instances. For now, while we're in beta, we don't want to make things more complicated than they ought to be. So that's what we're running.
Got it. And you might not be able to tell this publicly, but about how many containers per server? How many different people are on one of your hosts?
So containers, we've been exploring with different size hosts, anywhere from a couple dozen all the way to a few hundred is possible.
Okay. Great. And what happens if one of the hosts goes down?
Right, so what we do now, and one of the things that Tudum abstracts away, is that if you have, say, an application that is what Heroku calls the 12-factor stateless application that is very easy to scale horizontally, you can do that with Tudum. You choose your Docker image, you deploy that, and so you can deploy that into 4 containers. Now, those containers are actually going to be deployed into different hosts in Amazon, and those hosts are actually going to be running in different availability zones. So if you're running in such a redundant way where your application is deployed in 2 containers and the host were to go down, you'd still be up and running in the sense that there will be a host with your application, even if the whole availability zone went down, which has happened before with Amazon, your application would still be running. We're looking at how do we do things like, this relates somewhat, live migration. So we want to migrate nodes or containers within a node to different nodes. How are we able to maybe store the state if we stay on Amazon, on EBS, so that if the host comes down, we can create a new host, and the containers and Docker will be able to spring up those containers based on the EBS data. And so we're looking at solutions for that. But right now, the simplest way to not experience downtime is to make sure your container is running or your application is running in 2 or more containers.
Got it. And so does Tudum have a load balancing service if you have 4 containers, or do you have to build that as a 5th container load balancer?
So this is something that we asked ourselves early on, right? We love control, but we like and flexibility, but we also like ease of use. So we try to do something that satisfies both, meaning if you're a container, your application that's containerized runs and listens on port 80, then we will automatically register to our load balancer. So if your application is deployed to three containers, you will get a single endpoint that will be load balanced automatically by Tudum. But if you don't like our load balancer for whatever reason and you want to run your own load balancer, then you can simply containerize HAProxy or Hypatia or whichever load balancer you prefer, configure it however you want, deploy that in a container in Tudum, and then link your load balancer, your containerized load balancer, to your application, the one that's listening on port 80, and load balance the traffic that way. So that's an approach that we've seen some people take and that we want to support as we move forward.
Very cool. So that's really neat. That's above and beyond kind of the Docker container hosting, is that additional automatic load balancing feature. Are there any other features like that that go above and beyond the container hosting?
Absolutely. Going back to what I said earlier, we are looking to provide value add on top of just running containers. Zero downtime deployment, that's something that right now we have done. So you can very easily update all of your containers that are running an image tag that may be a version prior to the one you're running today or that you have just built. So with one click, you can say, hey, redeploy to all my containers the new image. So we're looking at ways of doing that in a zero downtime fashion. You mentioned load balancing, high availability, being able to say, hey, I want to do a git push, trigger the build, do my CI, CD, deploy to Tudum. So that whole integration from code all the way to up and running, that's something that we're looking into. So yes, value adds on top of the basic Docker hosting is something that is very close to our end goal here and our end objective.
Yeah, that's great, because just last week we were talking to Avi Cavalli at Shippable, a hosted CI/CD for Docker, and that was very interesting. I'm friends with the guy behind Drone, and how does one think about CI/CD in the context of Tudum?
So the way I see and envision the big picture here would be to say I'm a developer, I do a git push. Now, this git push would trigger a Docker build somewhere. We have an open source project that's called Boatyard, that is sort of the trusted build that Docker does. It's an open source project that you're welcome to check out. And so somewhere there's a webhook that triggers the build. And that build would trigger then the tests, the continuous iteration to say, hey, everything's good to go. Like your code is up and running, or it's good code, it passes all the tests. In which case that would trigger an automated redeployment of, hey, your application was running in these containers, now there's a new version, let's deploy that in such a way that ideally without any downtime, so that whole schema, right? In that regard, you would have things like GitHub, Docker Builder, which let's say it's the Docker Hub, something like Shippable or Drone.io. And eventually after that, it would be the running and the management deployment of the actual application would be the total portion.
Very cool. So I think this is kind of the ultimate vision for the workflow, developer workflow for Docker, is being able to have the exact same container that you built on your laptop be what you test in CI/CD and QA. And also be the exact same environment that goes over to Tudum. Is this kind of why developers might pick something like Tudum over DigitalOcean, is being able to have the same environment on their laptop as they have in production?
Absolutely. Ultimately, the way I see it, DigitalOcean is great. I myself use them. I can pay $5, and I have a development environment in the cloud. A development environment that I can go in, configure once, and sort of work with, right? Now, personally, I would much rather be able to run my code application and all of its dependencies, meaning the services that it needs, in my laptop. Now, if I can do this with Fig, where I have my SQL containerized Redis cache, my application, my web server, everything containerized, have some sort of manifest like Fig that defines this environment, this stack. And I can, with a single command, run that locally and see what that behaves like. And then say, hey, well, that's working. And now with a single command, push that to the cloud and have that exact same environment, that exact same application, and all of its services running at scale in the cloud, publicly, redundantly, highly available, load balance. Like, that is sort of, in my perspective, a developer's dream. So that's something we have definitely in mind, saying, okay, how do we do this and this and what go from truly a developer and production type environment in the cloud, doing all those things.
That's awesome. That does sound like a dream. It seems like next generation kind of stuff. So that all sounds great. What isn't good about Tulum yet?
So there's a number of things that are still in the pipeline. Volumes and data storage and persistent storage and anything data, dealing with data, it's a challenge. It's a challenge and something that we're looking and working very actively to solve. Meaning today, anything that satisfies the 12-factor definition of Heroku, stateless applications, it's a great use case and work seamlessly. But if I want to run MySQL today with Tulum, the data that is being stored in MySQL would die the moment your container dies. Now, that is not great for anything close to production level systems. So that is the one thing that we need to keep developing, keep working, and we hope to have a solid solution out in the immediate future. So in the next 2 to 3 months, have a persistent storage solution. And also, as I mentioned, we don't want to tie ourselves to infrastructure as a service. We see Tulum more as a infrastructure as a service 2.0, if you want to call it that. And we want to remain agnostic to the infrastructure underneath, and sort of allow the end user to bring in their own infrastructure. And so we're looking at the best options to how do we move forward with that, and allowing people to choose, pick whatever best satisfies their use case.
Very cool. Can you tell us anything about the technology you're going to use for persistent database, or is that not public yet?
So there's a number of, it's not public yet, so I cannot disclose much. There's a number of initiatives that we have in place, and we're talking to different groups, some of which actually are very active in the Docker ecosystem and looking to partner with them as we look for something that we can develop that will benefit us and that ultimately anybody in the Docker ecosystem can use as a multi-host persistent volume solution.
Cool. That's very exciting.
Very exciting.
So are Docker containers going to replace virtual machines? It sounds like infrastructure 2.0 is all containerized. What's the future of virtual machines in that world?
I don't think so. The way I see it, you rewind a few years, provisioning hardware sucked. So the virtual machine solved a hardware problem, right? We had these big machines, and now we can cut them up in little pieces and say, hey, here's a virtual machine. So basically what we're getting is an operating system that thinks it's running in its own hardware, but really it's not. That it's not its own hardware, it just thinks it is. And now you move that up the stack and you say, hey, here's an application. Let's make it think that it's running in its own operating system, but really it's not. It's a shared operating system. So I think that the use cases for containers and virtual machines are, there may be some overlap. Ultimately, one is not going to replace the other, and there are some things that may be done better with one or the other, but I see the need for both of them. They just solve different problems. One is a hardware problem, the other one is a software problem, and can I hack things away to achieve some of the stuff I can do with containers with VMs or vice versa? Absolutely. But ultimately, it's choosing the right tool to do the right thing.
Got it. So what about security? You mentioned that these are multi-tenant containers, and there has been some stuff recently about leaky Linux containers. Is there a worry that having it multi-tenant is a security risk?
If you ask the guys from the virtual machines, they'll say, yes, of course, we've got the hypervisor, and nobody can defeat the hypervisor, and that's another layer of security. The way we see it is there will be a lot of work being done, and it has already been done in the last 18 months, that increase the level of privacy, security, isolation that containers enjoy today. We ourselves are building things around that or on top of containers to make sure that containers remain isolated. So we have support for user namespaces, make sure that the user inside the container doesn't map to a use to the root user or to a user with any privilege really outside of the container. How do I maybe like doing an AppArm or SecComp around the container, limiting the syscalls? So there's many measures that can take place for you to run a secure multi-tenant container cloud. But absolutely, I think it's something that we will see as time goes forward. And we saw it from Solomon's keynote at DockerCon, that security, authentication, privacy, it's things that for the next 12, 24 months, we'll see a lot more being developed in that regard. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool. So what is possible when you combine Tudum with GitHub and Docker Hub all together? How is that changing the ecosystem for developers?
I think it goes back to what we mentioned earlier, right? If you're a developer, and I know that a single Git push is ultimately going to result in my code, my custom application with all of its services running at scale in the cloud, and I don't have to worry about where that's running, how it's running, or it not running, that's a game changer. It's the exact same code that I was running in my laptop, it's the code that I was able to test in my laptop, and ultimately have the peace of mind that that is what is running in the cloud, right? And that, with a couple of hacks, is possible today with Tudum, Docker Hub, and GitHub. So one can trigger an automated build from GitHub, and one can set using our API an automated deployment or redeployment of an application using Docker Hub and Tudum. So the possibilities are really a true build once and deploy and forget about it until you build again sort of a solution moving forward.
Very cool. Very cool. What's the future of Linux containers look like?
That's an interesting question. I think the reason why, one of the reasons why Docker has become so successful was that they standardized containers in general. And the fact that they were able to gather the support of the big players in the industry with this standardization, right? So they say, hey, this is a standard container. These are the tools that we use to interact with this container and to collaborate with these containers. And then you've got the big guys, the Google, Amazons, IBMs of the world say, hey, like, we support it. That's huge. So is there the need for more container technology? Like other projects, other proprietary or open source container specific projects? It's hard to tell. I think there's a lot of work to be done in the containers that we have today. Things like live migration and security that we mentioned earlier are things that the containers need to support out of the box. And I think that's where the direction is going to go on containers. Seeing initiatives like CoreOS, which is like a container native operating system, where ideally I don't no longer have to do an apt-get install piece of software, but instead all of my software comes in the form of a container. That's exciting. That's the sort of future of containers that I foresee, more so than new container technologies coming into the space, which we may see a couple here and there. But I'd like to see Docker succeed, everybody embracing this technology and building on top of it, as opposed to other projects coming up on the sites.
Very cool. Do you think that some of the big cloud players are going to start doing native Docker hosting?
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if they start enabling and making it easier to deploy containers, right? We've already seen it from the likes of Amazon Web Services, Elastic Beanstalk. I can now through a text file, deploy a container using their Elastic Beanstalk service, one container per VM. Google, likewise, has announced a number of integrations with Docker, and it's very likely that those integrations will move forward. Ultimately, the way I see these players is that their business model revolves around computing cycles. They make money off of the VMs that you're running, and they have to provide value adds and different services for you to use their cloud computing service, which is how they monetize. How much of that value they provide moving forward, it's will be interesting. But yes, absolutely, I do see these players coming into the space.
And so that's why you're building value add on top of that. Other than just pure Docker hosting, you're adding these services to keep you differentiated.
Right. Tudum is not in the business of competing on infrastructure against Google or Amazon. We have seen in the last few years that compute and memory and storage is becoming a commodity. It's becoming a commodity that's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And let's be realistic. Tudum is great. We're doing something awesome. We love it. But ultimately, I cannot compete with Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud Engine or any of the big players or even CenturyLink's cloud, right? When it comes to commoditizing infrastructure. Now, the way we see it is that Docker brings a lot of new things to the table, and there's a lot of value add to be had on top of the bare infrastructure. And that's where we see this value that Tudum is providing.
Awesome. What is the biggest barrier of entry for adopting Docker for most businesses today?
I think it's the, and surprisingly enough, I think it's a low barrier of entry. Until recently, maybe it was the fact that the technology is so new and there's just a sense of fear on something that's just been around for 16 months. So is this, will this be supported? What sort of support can we expect, et cetera, for the big players? Also the shift in paradigm. Even you still see this from people that have heard of Docker, that have sort of tried out Docker, that maybe have gone through a tutorial. It takes maybe from a couple minutes to a few days until it clicks. And you say, wow, now I get containers, now I get Docker, and I get the benefit. So some people will read articles online about containers and Docker, and until they experience it and try it out, maybe it doesn't click, and they don't see the value add that it brings. And they say, well, I can do that with virtual machines, with XYZ technology. But I think, those two things. The reality is the technology may not be mature enough, having only been around for 15, 16 months. And it's a shift in mentality, in how developers, how DevOps, how these teams work, and how they deploy new software, right?
Awesome. So it's been great talking to you and really cool picking your brain. What's next for Tudum?
Lots of things. Stay tuned. We've got a number of services and cool features coming up. We will be doing the move doing the hosting, right? Doing more of a multi-cloud and really focusing on the value add that our users are requesting and that we're very hard working on. Things like persistent storage, support for secure socket layers. So lots of exciting new developments coming up in the next 2 to 3 months. So definitely stay tuned. I think everybody will be pleasantly surprised. And we're also looking, now that we have been able to grow the team a little bit, to be more and more active with the community. We love this space. We love to be part of the Docker ecosystem. And as much as possible, it's about giving back. So expect to see some awesome contributions from us.
I cannot wait. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I hope to keep in touch with you. And I'd love to interview you when you and make these announcements, and I'd love to talk about your new open source software. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, Lucas. You take it easy. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with Lucas Carlson. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, CenturyLinkLabs.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. This has been a CenturyLink production. Join us next time for another edition of the CenturyLink Labs podcast.